Things that bump in the night. Things that creep us out. Voices from another realm. The figures that move out of the corner of your eye. That odd light in the sky.
We are back for the anticipated episode today, and I'm sitting here with my, well, he's the full-time host, Casey.
Hello, right? Everybody. Yep.
But today, since I'm kind of the true crime guy, I'm taking the reins today. We agreed on that, didn't we?
We did.
Casey, it's been really, really hot lately.
It really has.
Like, I don't know if you can tell, how many fans do I have on me when I sleep?
I mean, it looks like at least three.
At least three.
If not
literally pointed, I have a fan for every direction pointed at me.
Yeah,
it's really hot.
It's hot.
You know what? It's not as hot as Arizona.
That's true.
And that's where we're heading today, right?
Toasty Arizona, man.
Arizona and New Mexico and Nevada.
Yeah.
Is it Nevada or Nevada?
I mean, I've always pronounced it Nevada, I think.
I think that's what it's supposed to be, Nevada.
I think so.
I think tourists call it Nevada.
I think so. I think so. That sounds right.
So to start it off today, this is kind of, we're going to start it off. We're going to get this out of the way, first of all, because a lot of people want to know what we think. Okay. And I'm going to ask you real quick, Jodi Arias, smash or pass? Is she hot or not?
She is hot.
Yeah.
Like, she's good looking. But it's that, you ever see that video of the guy, he does like the crazy to hot crap?
Yeah.
Like, she's way too crazy.
Yeah. Like the chart with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's so
crazy that it interacts.
Yeah, her stock
contaminates her hotness.
Oh my God, yes.
Right?
So realistically, I would have to pass.
If she had a normal mind and was not a psychopath, she would be a smoke show. Right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But that's not the case. Because no, you look at her and you just see crazy.
She's
absolute
nuts.
Crazy. So that means, if you didn't pick up on that, we're covering the famed Jodi Arias today.
Correct.
Right? I'm a true crime guy. You know that.
Right.
And this is a case that I've always, well, since, what was it, 2008, when it happened,
yep,
that I've been obsessed with. I even remember following it on TV because I was just, oh my God, this is crazy. It was like the new OJ, you know?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it was covered pretty extensively. See, and that's the thing, though, is like,
it wasn't Casey Anthony, but it was still pretty covered.
Here's the thing. Like, I don't remember it being covered, and maybe that's just because I don't watch, like, a lot of news.
Yeah.
But ever since we started doing the podcast and a lot of more true crime has come up in my feeds, like on social media, I've seen the famous picture right before Travis was killed.
Right. Where he's like freaking out.
Yeah. Like he's looking right in the camera and he looks very concerned.
We're definitely going to spend some time talking about that because that is insane.
And of course I got like the gist of the case with like all that social media, like stuff on YouTube and TikTok and stuff, but I didn't actually know the ins and outs and how the interview went. And
yeah,
but
some people say, and we're going to talk about this, but I don't want to go too far into it yet, but some people are like, well, he's just posing, he's like trying to act sexy or mean, or like, you know, and you look at the picture like, no, the dude is terrified of something.
Oh yeah,
he's got that look in his eye, you know.
Yeah, that's fear.
It's definitely fear.
100%.
So we're going to bring that up later. We don't want to go too far.
No, right.
But let's go into the timeline.
Okay.
So Travis Alexander, rest in peace, was a Mormon,
mm-hmm,
and he lived in Arizona, Mesa, Arizona. He was a salesman. He did like a bunch of the sales, what do they call them, seminars,
right?
Where he would just show selling skills. I mean, he was excellent. He was a good speaker. He was very, very likable and charismatic.
Was,
like,
the company was called Pre-Legal. What was it? It was called Pre-Legal something.
Didn't he sell like software or something like that?
I can't remember exactly what the product was. Yeah.
But he did a lot of seminars, not just selling stuff, but how to sell stuff.
Right.
He was extremely likable. Like I said, charismatic. He had a lot of friends. We're talking, he was kind of, I want to say he was like, he was 30 when he died, but he was almost kind of like the frat boy that never really grew out of it.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
He kind of was, right? But at the same time, he was very, very tied into the Mormon culture, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Mormon faith. So any kind of hooking up or partying or drinking or wild sex or whatever, like that was a no-no.
Right.
Right?
Now, you're not supposed to.
You did not do that.
Premarital sex, none of that stuff.
Yeah. So September 2006, Alexander is work. I'm going to call him either Alexander or Travis. He's okay. Working at a convention in Las Vegas, and he finds his little hot spot, right? His little sugar cookie.
Correct.
Arius. Yep. Jody is there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what she's doing there. She wanted to be a salesperson.
She was also working for the pre-legal service company.
So it's like, uh-oh, like when two fronts meet, yep, right? Like exactly. She happens to be there. She's a photographer as well.
Yes.
Which I don't really think she was probably that good. As a photographer myself, I don't see her being that great.
Oh, if you remember, she dropped out of school, of a high school,
uh-huh,
to pursue a photographer's career.
Yeah. And here she is trying to be a saleswoman.
And then it's not panning out.
Right. So
she gets hired on by this company.
So that means she's like a failed artist, right?
Yeah.
Hitler.
Yes. There's something to say. If you're a failed artist, there's only one other way. Murder.
So Arius lives in California. Spends a lot of time with her grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Her parents aren't really mentioned that much. It's more her grandma than anything.
Right.
So maybe she was kind of just got along better with her, you know? She comes and visits Travis and Mesa quite often and he finds out he's a Mormon. He's also, a motivational speaker. Okay, so yeah. A sales speaker, mm-hmm, kind of.
Well, he was a part-time motivational speaker.
Okay.
He did that on the side. It was like a side gig.
Okay, but he probably intertwined them together, too, a lot. Like,
I'm used sure those they skills. Together.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So they spent some time together. 2 months later, in 2006, November, mm-hmm, Jody converts to Mormonism, and she's baptized into the Church of Latter-day Saints. 2 months later.
By him.
By him. Like, she converts 2 months later. Talk about moving fast, right?
That's a red flag.
You change your whole lifestyle and your pattern of beliefs for that, you know,
yeah,
for 2 months. Okay. So keep in mind, she's 26. He is, they're about the same age. He's like 27, 28. So, yeah. So about half a year later, they break up, but they continue to see each other for sexual hookups. Right?
Yep.
We're going to talk about sex a lot in this, guys. Sorry, but that's just part of this story.
So, yeah, if you have kids
that,
like younger kids that tend to listen to this may not be the episode.
This is a very sexual,
hypersexual episode.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff to do with that. So, but it's not senseless. I mean, it all does have a purpose in this.
Yeah. I mean,
okay,
we're not going to sit and be like pornographic, obviously.
Right.
But sex plays a massive part in the role of this case.
Yeah. So don't think that we're perverted. Yeah. We made fun of her being hot earlier, but that was just us having fun. Like, this is serious now.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
So, okay. Where was I? They break up, mm-hmm, in June 07. And weeks later, out of nowhere, so they break up, they're just having casual sex. Out of nowhere, weeks later, Jody just moves to Arizona. Just moves to Arizona. He doesn't ask her to. She doesn't have a job there. She just moves there and starts waiting tables. She gets a, she cleans his house for extra cash. I see that. And then she moves back to California. So they're off and on all the whole time, right?
Yeah, for about a year, yeah.
Now, when she it didn't say this in the timeline, but when she moved to Arizona, she got a house an apartment 2 blocks away from his apartment,
mm,
where he lived. And his roommates, And his friends were like, dude, she's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
She could have moved anywhere. She moves two blocks away from you. So that's another red flag there. He didn't ask her to do it. They weren't together. She just moved two blocks away. And I believe, obviously, that that's so she could keep tabs on him.
Oh, absolutely.
She could sit in front of his house, watch where he's going.
Much easier to be a stalker ex-girlfriend if you can live as close as you can.
I mean, there's probably a lot of, and I'm sure this is all in the case files, but a lot of stuff we don't know about in these, because these are thin documents here.
Right.
But she probably sat outside his house and looked and waited and spied. I mean, why wouldn't she?
Well, yeah.
Right? She was unhealthily obsessed with this guy. And there's a lot of psychology around this where maybe she just had a bad childhood, nurture versus nature kind of thing. She was, you know, hollow and had absolutely no self-esteem. And that's why a girl like that gets obsessed with a guy, you know?
And see, that's the thing, too, is like, I mean, you had a text conversation about this case a couple of days ago. And it's like there is nothing that they really talk about in her like childhood, early life.
There's nothing. She's like a phantom, dude.
That discusses like anything that would precede this.
Did she have a good home life, a bad home life? Right.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming with her living with her grandma, maybe she did have a rocky home life. Maybe.
But there's like
no proof.
And there's absolutely no people that came from her past saying, yeah, she was absolutely a hell child, or
yeah,
you know, she was angelic and she was.
Now, it would make sense, and this is from a psychologist, I'm not a psychologist, but it would make sense for her to have a rocky relationship with her parents, because that's why she just clinged on to him, right? Yeah. She had no stability in her life, right? Now, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not saying everybody who has bad relationships with their parents is like that. I'm just saying that would make more sense than having a happy, healthy home life, right? So, and you would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in May 2008, a gun, 25 caliber, is stolen from the home of Jody's grandparents where she's been staying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who stole it? Right? Who knew we had this and stole it? I wonder.
I mean, just odd.
So, I'm trying to keep my throat from going out, so ignore me if I chug something every once in a while. There's a lot of stuff in this. So, Jody found a new love interest. She takes a road trip to Utah to see the coworker and love interest. Utah is like the Mormon Mecca, right? Like, that's where Salt Lake City is like the Mormon Mecca.
Yeah.
That's where they're all based, you know?
Yeah. I do believe the headquarters of the church is there.
So, she takes a detour. On the way there, visits Arizona to kind of, hey, Travis, what you doing? What you doing, Travis?
Mm.
Right?
Yes.
You busy?
What's going on?
So he invites her in. She's like a vampire. It's like, dude, you never should invite her in.
Right.
Keep her on the doorstep.
No, right? She's definitely.
He invites her in. They bang. Excuse me. They have sex. That was just a. That came out so easily.
Oh, yeah, just, and the thing is I didn't catch it at first
because we're so used to just frat talking, right?
Oh yeah,
like, they bang.
I'm like, yep, absolutely, they sure did.
I love it. 5 minutes earlier, we're gonna be serious about this sex stuff, and then I slip and say that.
He's like, yeah, we're so super serious right now.
Casey's eyebrows, when I looked up at him, his eyebrows were like triangle. All right. So they have sex.
Yep.
Then they take photographs of each other. They like doing that for some reason.
Yeah, there's a lot. Okay, so I will interject to this to add as a footnote. There are lots of photographs that you can find on the internet.
Yeah.
Again, just interjecting here as a point of reference. And the photographs that were taken, especially the ones that were deleted but were recovered, were shown during the trial.
Yeah,
a lot of the pictures were not appropriate.
No, we're going to get into that.
Yeah,
we got a whole section for that. For that, right? Yeah,
thanks, Noah.
So I even printed off pictures of her bumhole for you. No, I didn't.
I was like, wait,
what? I'm joking. Okay, so they go. She goes back to his house. on the guise of, I'm going to see my new boyfriend in Utah. Do you want me to stop by and we could do it and take pictures of each other? Sure. Okay. So obviously she was not on a trip to go to her boyfriend, her new boyfriend. She was not doing that. Right.
It was more, well, it was like two birds, one stone.
That wasn't her intention.
Right.
Her main intention was going to Travis's house.
Correct.
So they take pictures of each other. Travis gets in the shower. After the sexual intercourse, during the pictures, and then the shower, sometime in that time frame, something happened, right? They either got in an argument. He told her, you need to leave now. Like, you can't stay. She just snapped, right? So he gets in the shower, and this is where it goes. Well, it turns into the case right here. And this is going to be kind of graphic, guys, so be prepared. At the time of the murder, she goes into the shower where he's at, and then she starts taking pictures of him. And they're kind of trying to be sexy at first. They're not. No. I mean, they're terrible pictures. And then there's a picture where he's staring straight into the camera with fear in his eyes.
Oh, completely fair.
And I honestly believe this is the part of like Psycho where she looks through the curtain and sees the hand, the knife. I believe this is the part. She had the camera in one hand and the knife in the other hand, and he saw that, and that was just absolute fear that he was displaying in that picture. That's haunting, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's haunting. That's the last image of him being alive, right? So she rushed him in the shower, stabs him 27 times in the chest and neck, 27 times, and in the face.
Yes.
She slits his throat, kind of like Nicole Brown, slits his throat from ear to ear, but she digs in to where he's hanging by a tendon. Like his head was literally cut off.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, he slumps down into the shower. He's dead, right? She takes his head back, puts the gun to the back of his head, and shoots a bullet straight through his head.
Yep.
into the floor of the shower. So it was a downward slope. Straight through into the floor. The cops find that bullet, you know, but he's dead before this. She shot him as a final thing, right? So she collects her evidence. She spends 45 minutes mopping up blood, washing her hands, throwing blankets in the washer, cleaning the shower, cleaning his body. She literally wiped him off. You know, when you're stabbed that many times and you're shot in the head, you don't bleed as much. Like it happens initially, but then you just stop, right?
Yeah,
you have no pressure.
Well, yeah, once the heart stops beating, you're not going to really continue to keep bleeding as much.
So all the blood she had to clean up was mostly in the shower. You know, there was some splatter here and there, but it was mostly in the shower. Then she just washed it down the drain, right? So she cleans up. Wipes everything down, wipes her footprints down. She takes the camera, and this is just stupid. I don't know what she was thinking here. She takes the camera and just throws it in the washing machine.
To delete the pictures.
She tries to delete them, throws it in the washing machine. She didn't take the SD card out, right? She didn't break that in half and throw it in the drain.
Correct.
She just throws it all in the washer. Cops can retrieve... deleted stuff.
Yes.
I mean, just because you format a card doesn't mean it's gone.
Correct.
Right? She was too dumb to know that.
Maybe that's why she was a failed photographer.
It might be. I accidentally deleted your wedding photos. I'm sorry. They're not really deleted.
I'm stupid.
Anyway. So she goes back to Utah on her trip.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the phone call comes in. She calls Travis. So as she's driving back to Utah, which is hours and hours, she's making fake phone calls to convince her alibi back to Travis.
Oh, yeah, she's got to make it legit.
So she's, me and my friend are going to the concert. If you want to go, there's one line about a concert. We're going to the show, I think she says. If you want to go, let us know if you're in. Okay. Bye-bye. So like she's trying to be all cute.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I was just on my way, and I drove the wrong way 100 miles.
Yeah, that's nonsensical.
And you weren't here to tell me that I drove the wrong way. But I turn around. It's fine. Like, she's trying to be all, like, what is it, lackadaisical?
Yeah.
Lackadaisical?
Like, everything is fine.
So she's trying to convince her alibi.
Mm-hmm.
You can see right through this, because she had her phone on her the whole time, and it went straight to his house. Like, yeah. The phone tower's binged directly next to his house.
Yeah.
How do you not know that, right?
Yeah. Because, like...
that would have been, if she had no phone signal, like, no interaction on the way to his house, they wouldn't have been able to pin it on her exactly, right?
Well, at least
because with John, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's literally, if she left her phone at home, without a shadow of a doubt, they could not prove that she went to Utah or to Arizona.
Well,
right?
No, because if you remember, she missed some stuff in the cleaning process.
True. Yeah, she did. That would have, but I'm saying as far as her trip.
Oh, yeah, the trip there.
Yeah. They couldn't prove that she had a trip there, is what I'm saying. That would have been another notch for her to use to get herself off, you know?
Yes.
Even though they had the evidence.
Yeah, but, I was going to say the physical evidence puts her at the scene in the crime. But
what I'm saying is the cell phone
the
towers.
Technological.
That was a huge case against her, right? And that would have been one less case against her if she could have done away with that.
Sure.
But anyway, there's so many serial killers out there who get caught because of cell phones. Pinging off towers. Oh, we found our body here. Your cell phone pinged off the tower across the street. Shit.
Yeah.
Should have left it at home.
Yeah.
Right?
We're over here giving tips to potential serial killers now.
I've watched enough ID. Okay. After she kills Travis, she goes to Utah, makes the phone calls, shows up at her new boy toy's house.
Has sex with him.
Keep in mind, she just stabbed Travis 27 times. Her hands are cut. When you stab someone, you cut yourself.
Because a lot of times they're offensive wounds.
Yep.
From where the victim is trying to scratch and claw and keep you from...
Or sometimes your hand just slips down the knife because the blood, it's nasty, it's wet and slippery. You cut yourself with a knife. I mean, that happens a lot, right? There's a lot of bugs in here, flies. So she's all cut up. She goes to his house, has sex. He doesn't even bother. Like, what?
Yeah. He's like, okay.
She's like, turn the lights off. I don't want you to. Okay.
Just, yeah, whatever.
4 days later, actually 5 days later. So he died on the 4th.
Yeah, you're right.
4 days. Yeah. So friends find Alexander's body in a shower. They walk in. Now, I feel bad. He was dating this one girl at the time. Did you see her at all?
Mm-hmm.
She was so cute.
Yeah, she's cute to you.
Curly brown hair,
mm-hmm.
big old glasses. Yeah. She was just adorable.
Yeah, she really was.
Another Mormon girl that he met, you know.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, okay. She was in a Latter-day. She's the one that discovers him. She walks in to go see him.
It was her and a friend.
But she's the one that walks into a shower and sees him there.
Well, I think it, we could... I mean, obviously, when we talk about the court thing, but yeah, she had said something where she saw a bunch of blood and she was like, I refuse to keep looking.
Yeah.
She
did
like,
she turn around, walk out, and her friend went in and saw?
I don't remember that part. I remember her testimony being, I saw all the blood and I knew instantly he was dead. And I turned around and I said, he's dead. He's dead. And they called the
cops. That might have been. Well, I just remember she discovered something. And
she discovered all the blood. And she knew that he was gone.
So she calls the cops. Well, see, here's what it's saying. Friends discover his body in the shower and call 911. So I don't know if her friend
might have.
Maybe walked on in, you know?
It's possible.
So he'd been shot in the head, stabbed. We know that. Authorities later find Arius's hair and bloody palm print at the scene, along with the timestamp photos
mm-hmm.
inside the washing machine. These photos had the sexy, quote-unquote, photos of Travis. Before that, it had the sexy time photos of them together mm-hmm. where Jody was Odie. I said Odie like Garfield.
I was like,
Jody was doing some poses like hustler, we'll say, some solo hustler poses,
mm-hmm.
which will come up later. And then the shower shot of him terrified. And then she dropped the camera while she was stabbing him. I think she was trying to take photos while she was doing it, you know, like just mocking him, like snap, snap, as she's stabbing. Yeah. Because while she's stabbing, she drops the camera and it flashes of the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And then she drops it, or it goes off a second time.
Because she kicked it.
She kicked it, and it gets her feet and his dead body right next to her feet.
Yes.
They pointed this out in the interview, and I thought this was so chilling.
Oh, yeah.
And she sees, jumped in the interview, she sees the photo. The detective lays it down on the desk. In fact, that happened right before you got here.
Right.
He lays it down on the desk. Do these look familiar, Jody? These are your feet. And she just looks at it for a second. Those aren't my shoes.
Yeah. She's like, that's my feet.
Yeah.
I'm like,
okay. That's your camera that was in the washing machine. That's your palm print.
Yeah, like, the interview was so.
She tried to play it off like somebody else did it, and it was just ridiculous.
Yeah, the interrogation that she had, and if you guys go and look up YouTube and look up, the name of the video is called Wrath of Jody.
Yeah.
And if you guys look it up and watch it, it is honestly like one of the most irritating interrogations I've ever watched.
Yeah.
And for several reasons. But one of the biggest things is she's literally trying to look at this professional detective.
Who has every amount of evidence against her.
There's no reason. And he even says so eventually.
Yeah. But he won the game. Oh, he won the game.
He won it.
Right.
I mean, straight up. And he didn't. And the fact he had way more patience with her than I could have ever mustered. But she was just so grating, like nails on a chalkboard. Like just, it just.
She's a narcissist soul. Who thinks she's smarter than everybody.
She really does.
She thinks she can outwit anybody.
Well, did you hear that lady detective?
Yeah.
She's like, you're not as in.
She's not going to put up with it.
Yeah. She's like, you're not nearly as intelligent as I initially thought you were.
So Jody got a big old birthday present, mm-hmm. right?
Correct.
On her 28th birthday, she's indicted for first degree. 6 days later, she's arrested at her grandma's home. And she keeps saying, I don't even hurt spiders.
Oh,
that was her thing, her tagline.
Yeah, her big thing turned in because when the detective is basically telling her, "Hey, look, we have all this evidence, right? We know you were there. We know you attacked him."
Yeah,
and she's like, "I don't even hurt spiders. I kicked my dog one time, and I felt so bad about it. I vow never hurt animals again." And he's like, "Okay," and he's just totally unfazed by it. And she's going on this big tangent about spiders and dogs and all this stuff and how she doesn't hurt animals, and she even tries to apologize to the dog. It's not even there. And
yeah,
it's just projection and a deflection. It's just, I'm going to try to do. Okay, you know, like when
she even said, if you arrested somebody else, if you arrested me and I didn't do it, I'm going to sit there on death row and the real person's going to be out there sitting pretty.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Let's
get to that though. Okay. Let's not cross the line yet, because there's still a little bit more to go. She's extradited to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
A public defender is assigned. Now, I don't know if that's because she can't afford a lawyer, or if no real lawyer would take her case.
Well, any lawyer will take him if you pay him the money.
If some lawyers know that the evidence runs against you to that extent, sometimes they'll just say, "I don't know if I should do this." You know,
that's true too.
Because then they know they're going to lose. So it's like, why am I doing this?
Right.
Right. She pleads not guilty. September 11th, she pleads not guilty. September sometime. She tells various media outlets that two masked intruders did it. And she was there tied up. That was her first. Did you remember hearing that?
Yes.
Okay. Her story changed constantly.
At least three times.
Once your story changes one time, you're just done. Especially nobody's going to believe you.
Especially when it swings so wildly.
Yeah.
To totally different stories.
No jury's going to convict me, she said. Then they file a notice of intent to seek the death penalty. Mm-hmm. Because she's crazy, right?
Right.
So she's not like insane. Yeah, she's just crazy. Because
they're saying it was premeditated.
Yeah. There's a difference between crazy and insane, right?
Right.
There is a difference. So they contend that she planned to kill Alexander in that trip to Utah. That makes it first degree on intent with the death penalty.
Right.
She changed her story, claiming self-defense, saying that Travis attacked her. He was in the shower.
Yeah. I mean, the photograph.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like he lunged at you.
That held up for about a day.
Yeah.
That excuse. Moving along here, we are now in 2012. Jury selection begins. 2013, opening arguments. Artwork by Jody is soon begins selling online because people are just fascinated. They're buying her artwork. It's terrible artwork.
I have not looked it up. Because you told me about it, and I was like, yeah. I don't know if I want to see that.
So during the trial, here we go. During the trial, this is where it gets fun. I mean, it's been fun, but excuse me. All the evidence was brought up. All of it. They show her the bloody crime scene photos. She doesn't really respond too much to it. She kind of fake cries. You could tell when she's fake crying.
Oh, yeah.
they show... The jury has to show the hustler photos to everybody in the courtroom and just show... They have to literally display her spread butt cheeks,
yeah,
and open orifice,
mm-hmm,
to the whole jury room.
Can you imagine? You're sitting... And I don't feel bad for Jody at all.
I feel bad for the families that are,
oh my God,
sitting in there.
Because can you imagine, though, Jody sitting there in a packed room with media,
yeah,
jurors, a judge, lawyers abound, and all of a sudden in great big poster board,
yeah,
right?
Or on the big projector.
Projector, yeah, is your butthole.
Hey, Jody, is this or is this not your butthole?
Because and you're just saying, uh-huh, yep, it sure is.
I remember that, and I remember just, it didn't seem like much of the time, but then going back and thinking about this case, I die laughing every time, because I just think of the ghastly people, like, oh.
It's like, is that a chocolate starfish?
Yeah.
Are you guys really showing this right
Why
now?
Why are you showing us a butt? So... She goes on and on saying he went violent before his death. That's why she killed him, blah, blah, blah. None of this holds up.
No.
I mean, none of it. A trial, usually these trials go the same way. The defendant tries to throw everything they think they can,
yep,
and it gets shut down, you know, one after the other. She testifies for 18 days straight about it, and they just pretty much just say, you know, just shut up. Right.
They were, because Jody was trying to make herself look like this innocent little thing, and yeah, that Travis was this monster. Because not only was they saying it was Travis attacked her, and she was like, she tried to paint him as a pedophile, as a domestic abuser.
Yeah.
Tried to paint him in every vile. And could you imagine being,
she slandered him. Oh, yeah. Definitely. His family having to listen to all that.
Listen to that, going, there is no way in hell that that he was this way.
Travis seemed like a pretty good dude.
Yeah. I mean, aside from
his shape. I mean,
his only mistake was hanging out with a psycho.
I'm not going to victim blame because we don't do that, but he should have not had ties with her. Right. He shouldn't have, the way he manipulated her a little bit and used her. That was wrong.
That was definitely
right. That's the one fall he had. But what guy in their 30s or late 20s doesn't, you know, and wouldn't do that.
And here's the thing, ultimately, is you have to be an adult, because you can sit and say, well, see, he drove, and I'm sure, I'm almost 100% sure you can get online somewhere and someone's defending her saying, had he not done that, then she wouldn't have done
that. There's a bunch of simps in basements trying to, she's so hot.
And hyper feminist.
Yeah, let's deport her.
And they're like, well, see, if he hadn't done that, she wouldn't have done that. So it was justified. It was like, no, you need to understand.
And she put it in front of him. She would show up to him. Hey, Travis,
look at this.
Take me.
She was using sex as a way to appeal to him.
Yeah.
And then not understanding that that's all he wanted. For.
Right.
He didn't see her as.
She had nothing. She was a hollow person. She had nothing to offer him, period.
I hate to say this, but you can't make a hoe into a housewife.
Right?
He knew that. Okay, because the other chick, the one he was taken to the concert or to the show.
Yeah. The one that found him.
She was the one he was actively pursuing to be in a real relationship.
She seemed like a real sweetie when you saw her. Yeah. I was like, she seemed like a girlfriend type, right?
She seems like the one you could take home to your parents. Yeah. Like, look at that. Where
Jody was just the dirty little pleasure is what she was. She
wasn't psychotic.
Right. Well, even then, if she wasn't psychotic, I feel like there's not much there for him to... to connect with.
She used her body to to get what she wanted.
She was a doll. She was just dull, man. There was nothing about her that was intriguing at all.
Her biggest her biggest feature was what was exterior.
Yeah.
And she knew that.
She was a follower. She followed him to do this. Mm-hmm. She followed him to be get into the church, to be a saleswoman.
She has no real personality, and she thought she was, just as you said earlier, she thought she was smarter than she was. She thought she could pull the wool over the eyes of the detectives.
She probably just spent her whole life riding off her looks, man.
And honestly,
that's probably what it was.
She didn't ride that well. She dropped out of school to become a photographer, failed at that, went to the sales job.
Yeah. But she probably had boyfriends, though, that would pay for her. Like the guy she went to have sex with after she killed him. That guy was a very well-off business guy, mm-hmm. right? He was probably buying her dinners, buying her rent, buying her whatever, mm-hmm. paying for her gas. So in a way, she was successful in using her looks, but even though there was nothing there internally, she got what she wanted. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
For the most part.
Well, and ultimately she wanted to be, in a lot of ways, she wanted to be that person to somebody, but she was so nuts.
Yeah.
She was so clingy. She was so just abrasive that no one wanted to put up with her.
They tried to bring up insanity. They tried to bring up post-traumatic stress. They tried to bring up quote unquote battered women syndrome. All this stuff, psychotherapists, defense attorneys, it was all shut down, all of it. None of it stood true. So the trial goes on and on. This time, the case is just getting bigger and bigger around the country, around the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Prosecutors describe Arias as a manipulative liar who planned the savage attack. And then the lawyer at the closing moments employ the jurors to take an impartial view of the case, even if they don't like her. That's hilarious. That's funny. They begin deliberations. And then jury reaches a verdict 5 days later. Guilty of first degree murder. Okay, I didn't print the last one, but here's what happened after that. So she's given first degree murder, but they got hung up on the death. There wasn't a full... To get the death penalty, you have to have all.
Right.
Right? There was a hang up, so she did not get the death penalty. So what they did was they went back. They call it a hung jury, correct?
Right.
And they went back and had to revote, and she still did not get the death penalty. So now she's sitting in prison for life.
Yeah, without the possibility of parole.
For life. Yeah, period.
She's done.
So that's... I'd say that's just as bad as death, really. I mean, you can't do anything your whole life. You have to waste away. To me, some people are like, well, she should have died. Do you really want to sit in prison your whole life with never getting out, ever? Right? No, Who wants to do that?
I would want to do that.
I'd want to die.
Yeah, I mean.
Right?
I'd start me a fight in the yard and hope someone shanked me.
Yeah. I would say my prayers, save my soul, and jump off a freaking... onto a fence post or something. Like I do not want to live through that.
No.
Right. So, or I'd piss off like a Mexican gang and just let them make a pincushion out of me. Right.
Yeah.
So I'd flash my man boobs to the Aryan race and just let them go to town. So anyway, we didn't really talk much about the interrogation. We're going to backtrack a little bit. But to me, what was really funny, what stood out, was the fact where she tried to make herself look like almost a little girl.
Dude, cutesy. That, and that was like one of the things I think initially made me dislike her was that.
She's a person that's very easy to loathe.
Oh,
you know?
Oh my God. It was, she was like this cutesy. She tried to do her best to look like this cutesy little Bible thumping girl. And not that there's anything wrong with that, because we, as me and Noah have discussed before, we're both Christians in our beliefs.
But she was like ultra righteous about it too.
She was definitely trying to come off as, one of the things she states is, I hold the Ten Commandments very near and dear to my heart. And that's how I live my life, by that code. And it's like, obviously you don't.
The number one is thou shalt not murder. That's the most important one.
Yeah. It's like, that's literally right there. Top one, top billing, right?
Right.
Number one, thou shalt not murder. And for those who want to argue, it says thou shalt not kill. That's not what it says.
If you watch the interrogation, the detective is, the first time the detective is walking into the room, she thinks she hears her coming or hears him coming. She lays her head down on the desk. It's so robotic the way she does it. Mm-hmm. She wipes off the desk. Oh, stretches like you do before bed. Lays her head down. Opens her eyes.
Yep.
Watches the door. And then she sees his footprints. He comes to the door and walks right past it. She thinks it's him. He's not coming in. She goes, and then she gets back up. And then he comes back towards the door. She's listening. He starts making his way back. She does it again.
Yep.
This time he comes in. She closes her eyes. And then she gets up, yawns. It's like, who would fall asleep?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're obviously
That was just detained. Her game plan of trying to act like a little cutesy. You know?
Okay. And I think this is one of the reasons why it grates me so is I'm a parent to two young boys, right? When my oldest gets in trouble, one of the things he tries to do is deflect, change topics. And a lot of kids do this, right? When they're in serious trouble and they know they are. They will deflect, change topics, shift blame. And everything she was doing was in a kid's textbook for evading trouble.
Is trying to get sympathy.
That's another tool in the tool belt.
Or trying to get them to say, look at her. She couldn't have possibly done this, right?
So it's deflect, projection, shift blame, look cutesy and innocent.
And you don't, when you know you're on the grounds for murder, dude, one time I stole something from a store, like a piece of candy. My mom found out, and when we got home, she was like, where'd you get that? She's like, go to your room. Dad is on the way home. He's going to come back there and talk to you, and he's probably going to spank your butt.
Yeah.
And I remember going to my room and just nervous, like, what do I do? And I'm panicking, and I'm shifting, because I know Dad's going to come in down that door and interrogate me, right? That's how you act. That's a complete normal human response to that, because
you are in serious trouble.
Yeah. That's not how she acted at all.
She thought she could deceive and manipulate. And it's like, but the problem is A, this, even when the detective sat there in the interrogation room and said, we have the evidence that says you're guilty, right? You might as well just confess. It'll make your life easier down the road. And she was like, one of the things she said, if I was guilty, I'd be prepared to face the consequences. I remember hearing that on the interview, and I'm like, well, you are guilty.
You're definitely guilty.
Don't get me wrong. In the American justice system, you're innocent until proven guilty. The problem is in this particular case, as we well know, the detectives had every shred of evidence they needed to prosecute effectively.
Yeah. Another thing we didn't bring up, she had a rental car for that trip. When she returned it, they found it had been driven 2,800 miles, and the clerk said that the car was missing its floor mats and had blood stains on the seats.
Well, reported as red stains.
Red stains. Right. What would that be, right?
Right.
Why are the mats gone, right? Yeah. How funny is that?
And then one of the funny things is that they said later on is like, well, now we can't confirm if it actually came with floor mats. And because the rental company cleaned the car, the police department couldn't analyze the stains to see if they were blood. And if it could, who would match?
They could only prove that it went 2,800 miles.
That's all they could come up with.
Which, I mean, that's enough, you know? Yeah. That's enough.
It's, I mean, circumstantial, but
circumstantial. Yeah, I saw that.
But that was smart on her part, though, to get a rental.
Right.
I will say that. That's probably the smartest move she made. That whole ordeal.
Yeah. I'm trying to go through and see if there's anything we missed.
Well, I mean, obviously, the big link, also one of the big links is her grandparents reported a 25 caliber pistol stolen. Just so happens the guy shot with a 25 caliber pistol.
Did you hear in the interview? Okay, the cop was talking to her and she goes, Jody looks at the cop's gun.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yes.
She goes, nice gun. What kind of gun is that? And the cop said, 25 caliber.
No,
you know,
it's a Glock.
It's a Glock. And she goes, she looked at him and like winked. And she goes, I recently bought a gun too.
And then
why would you say that?
Yeah. Well, did you hear what he said? He's like, Oh, really? And he's like, yeah. He's like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, we probably took that.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, we probably already have that.
Why would she say that? Why even bring it up? You know?
Well, if you notice everything in the interrogation, she didn't need to bring up, and she did.
That was just so crazy to me.
What was the other goofy stuff? I mean, stuff she would bring up. It was
She would try to misdirect their attention by going off.
The entire time.
I'm going to go off here and try to. That female cop would go, nope, right back to it, you know?
I will say the one thing that the male detective did that kind of was cringy to me was he's sitting there and he's obviously trying to make friends with her, right? He's trying to be on her side to get her to confess, to get her to come clean. And he's like, I don't even see why he didn't want to be with you. You know, you're pretty, you know, and all this, you know, you seem like you're really sweet, blah, blah.
Tried to play devil's advocate.
And
there,
I'm sitting there going, I'm sitting on the couch going, ew.
he was trying to kind of get in there and hit a nerve.
Sure, but right? It's just like, because he's trying to relay and go, I see something you, Travis, didn't, so be my friend and say what you need to be said.
That's a common technique, you know, in investigations.
It still just made my, like...
It does.
It's just like, ew.
Anytime she gets a compliment from anybody...
But did you notice how she just kind of shrugged it off? Like,
yeah.
It didn't resonate with her at all.
There's something...
Because she just sat there and looked at him like...
There is something deep, deep part of her fabric that is just effed.
It's disconnected.
And there's no way to fix that. I don't think any kind of rehabilitate... I mean, even if she got rehabilitated, it wouldn't matter now. She's going to be locked up. But any kind of rehabilitation or psychotherapy, I don't think can fix what's wrong with her. No. I think she was just designed... In a bad way, right?
Oh, yeah. There's something significantly off.
It's like when you get a car and it works fine and then it just stops working and no one can figure out why. It's just done.
Yep.
That's her, right?
Well, it's like I told you in the text message. Her case is like a gag gift at Christmas where you get the box and you unwrap it and you
one open box it up after
and
the
there's
other.
Another box that needs to be unwrapped.
Right.
And so you unwrap it and then you open it up and there's another box that needs to be unwrapped and you just keep going through this. And that's all she is.
She's a never ending box
of mystery. It's just
mystery and butthole picks.
Because when the male detective, yes, that too. But when the male detective asked her why, we know you did it. Why? And even the female detective, we know you did it. Why?
Right.
She couldn't give an answer. It was always this, I'm innocent. But even afterward, at no point has she ever decisively said the reason why.
No. I don't think there is a reason besides her. Number one, I think she's egotistical. We can agree to that.
She is 100% a narcissist.
She's a narcissist, 100%, right? She has an empty personality, like an emptiness that can't be filled by anything.
No.
The only thing that can fill that emptiness, or at least numb it, is having somebody like Travis. You're pretty. Want to have sex? You're pretty. Let's go to dinner.
Let's be a couple.
Yeah. And then once that's removed from her, she can't stand not having something like that. And she can't stand being told no.
Oh, yeah.
And when he told her no, and that's what I believe that night, what the catalyst, what set it in motion to where she killed him, was him telling her and confirming, this isn't going to work. We're not going to be a couple. You need to go. Right? That I believe that's what happened. I've had those conversations with girls where it's like, this isn't going to work. What makes you think he didn't have it with her over and over and over again?
I mean, from what we know in the interviews, the videos, the notes, is that did happen.
Yeah.
And
it just happened one too many times for her and she snapped.
He just kept leading. Unfortunately, and whether it definitely hurt Travis long, he kept leading her on with the sex.
He did.
And bringing her back into his life with these little tricks.
He wasn't 100% innocent in her mental state.
Right? Absolutely not.
I'm not saying he caused it.
No, it didn't help the matter.
It didn't help.
But I firmly believe that when she drove to his house that evening, despite how the evening went, I think she was going to kill him.
She was going to kill.
He was dead no matter what.
But the thing is, I think something set her off. because she does kind of seem just kind of numb and just blah until something happens or you charge her or you stab her with something.
If
you know,
look at the pictures the whole time she's taking pictures up until that very last one. He's just taking a shower.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, boom, there's fear. So I don't think anything transitioned necessarily.
But what if between the fact, the point of him getting out of bed or them finishing and then him going to the shower, he said a comment. She's still laying in bed. She's stewing. He's in a shower. I'm going to get the camera and go in there and do this.
She saw her chance.
Yeah, she saw her chance.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't think anything set her off at all?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. I think what set her off was the fact that she already knew he was with somebody else or seeing someone else that other than her.
Yeah.
She already knew.
That leads to the premeditation, right?
Because she also already knew he was taking her to that trip that the company already paid for. That's what we left out.
Oh, yeah. She was jealous.
Because
why can't I go, Travis?
Precisely. That to her was information she knew.
Yeah.
That she was out as the relationship. Travis was taking that other girl to that trip to Cancun, I think, was where they were going.
Somewhere nice.
Somewhere super nice. The company was paying for it.
Poor old Jody can't go.
He was taking her instead of Jody. And when she just shows up, and I believe the official stories, she showed up announced. I don't believe her story. She was invited. She showed up unannounced. Of course, here's this free piece of tail just walking in. He already knows what he can get for his, you know, for his buck, right? So he lets her in. They have their fun. He's taking a shower. She sees the opportunity.
People like Jody are programmed to either go this way or this way. Like they're going to do. Jody would have done this to somebody no matter who it was. If it wasn't Travis, it would have happened again later in life. It, you know, she could have gotten married and it could have happened then, but she was going to go down this path because that's just who she is, right?
I don't know, because had she found, which I think she...
If there's murder in your heart, it's in your heart.
In her head, I think she found her guy.
Yeah.
And when she couldn't have her guy, well, then nobody can.
Well, yeah, but it could have came out in other ways.
It's possible.
She might not have slit her husband's throat, but she could have cut his brakes or, you know, like something, right?
It's possible.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is you don't really know how it would have played out. Like, had Travis said, I want to marry this woman, they might have lived happily ever after.
But later down the road, though, something could have happened, right? But
then at some point, he was like, I'm unhappy in this marriage and I want out. Maybe then.
But if what I'm saying is, if it's okay in her heart to kill someone or do damage, that's not going to change, right? Like, she's an animal.
But see, that's the other thing is we don't know, because there's nothing that we know of her past that acts as a precedent to that point, because she's never done it before. But then again, so neither did Scott Peterson.
True.
So we don't honestly know.
I don't feel right when I look at her.
No.
You know? When I see her, I feel weird, man.
And because you know what she did.
Right.
But, okay, let's assume, okay, if I was to find, and this would be a great test.
Yeah.
If I was to find a picture of, say, five women, one of them being a...
This is if I had never seen Jody before.
Oh, I mean, if I was to go right now
and
pick five random pictures to you.
Okay.
But one of them was for sure
a female Manson.
Yeah, a femme fatale.
Okay.
And I was like, and they look normal. And I was like, okay, which of these five is a killer?
Knowing my ex-wife, though, I'd probably choose the killer and just not even know it.
Maybe.
Just, I'd pull a Travis.
You might pull a Travis.
He could have had probably any girl he wanted. That's
what I'm saying.
Right?
Pick the killer. Not to date, but pick the killer. Pick the killer. Pick the one that you suspect is the killer. Like,
I thought you were going to say pick one that I would like.
No.
It's like I'd pick one, her.
Identify the killer of the group.
Okay, yeah.
In a lineup.
They say a lot of it's in the eyes, but in a picture, it's hard, you know, to tell.
I mean, like I said, we can look at picture of Jodi Arias and go, number one, yes, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, she doesn't look like a killer.
But
you know,
look at her, and because you already know what she's done, you know, we have
and the way bias. She acts in the moment, you're like, God.
Oh, yeah, because as soon as you see her in an interrogation video, you just want to strangle
she's
her.
She's nuts.
And I hate to say that, but you do. But you know she's a nutball.
But she's not like psycho, like she's not off the walls, crazy room nuts.
I don't
know.
When I saw her do that backward stretch.
Yeah, what was that about?
If you guys,
she did a headstand. She literally did a headstand in the on the camera.
If you guys go and watch The Wrath of Jody, which I encourage you to do.
Yeah. If you're a psychology person, it is fascinating. When the guy breaks it down.
She leans back in the chair like we've all done in school to kind of like crack her backs or kind of do that stretch. But she takes it to the extreme. She literally puts her palms of her hands up against the wall and just does this stretch and holds it for at least a good 3 to 5 count.
There's a part where the guy walks out, though, and she literally does a headstand against the wall.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing?
She's a nut.
Yeah.
I mean, she is nuttier than squirrel.
She had to know there was a camera in there.
Well, if you look at the interrogate, at one point, she looks directly,
at it. She had to know. They were watching her. I think she was just, let me show them that I'm a kid. I want to be a innocent little kid.
I don't think she knew the camera was there at first because, like I said, she does the flips, right? When someone's in a room and not in
the
room. So I don't think she knew it was there at first, but she eventually did because
I think she knew. Point, I think she's smarter than they think, you know? She plays a little, that whole dumb thing when the texter said, I don't think you're as smart as I thought you were. I think that's the cute little Barbie doll image she has, you know? But, I'm dumb.
But there was so much that she did wrong.
True. But because honestly,
one's going to buy that someone of that age can act like that.
Yeah.
Because to everybody, the jurors, the judge, the detectives, everybody, she was this grating personality that nobody can stand.
That just makes you think, because there's no reasoning with her, right? There is absolute no reasoning with her. There's no logical train of thought.
The Dark Knight Joker.
That's what I was going to say. She doesn't want anything, right?
It's chaos.
It's just chaos. But that's what makes me think that there's something.
She did want him.
Yeah, she wanted him and innocence, right? But there's something that's what leads me to think, because like with Joker, when he shows up in The Dark Knight, we don't have any backstory. You never get any backstory about Joker, right? Nothing.
That's true.
He just shows up.
Because every time he tells his backstory, it's a different story.
And the first time you see him, he just walks into the mob room and shoves the pencil in the guy's head. That's the first time you see the Joker. Well, the bank robbery.
I was going to say.
He walks up the one and see the pencil disappear. That's the first time you get like vocalization of who he is.
Yeah.
Right? Other than the bank robbery scene.
Like the definition.
The definition. So there's no backstory. He wasn't in the military. Like, you don't know anything. Jody shows up out of nowhere. You hear about Travis. That's where her story starts. It's like an NPC in a video game. She just spawned there, right?
It's like, and that's the thing in the Jody, the Wrath of Jody video, in the wiki entry, in the timeline notes, and everything that I've seen in the last weekish that we've been looking at this case, there we have no background information on her. Like, almost no one gives a shit about...
She just spawned in the world.
And the thing about it is, when you look at any killer, whether it's a one-off, like they just literally, it's a crime of passion type of thing, or it's a serial killer, you have a background.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, everybody overlooks that.
Serial killers all have backgrounds.
Which leads me to only one conclusion.
What's that?
Her background had to have been squeaky freaking clean.
Yeah, it's just uninteresting, right?
She was a run-of-the-mill, all-American type.
I did talent shows in high school. I was in band.
Because if she had the type of background that most psychologists love to milk to get the killer.
Like Manson MO, and Ted and Bundy. And yeah. She's not a serial killer.
Right. She's a one-off. And the thing is, how old was she? She was in her 20s, right? When she could...
That's what makes her even more weird. She was 28. She was
born in 80. And it happened in when? 2008?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
She's like 30.
So, she's only 5 years older than me.
Yeah.
So, Jody, if you're out there, are you single?
Casey's single.
I'm kidding. I would not date you.
I would rather date Casey Anthony than Jody Arias.
Ew.
I know. They're both terrible, absolute trash humans.
Kill her own baby.
Yeah, but... I'm worried about her killing me, dude.
I got kids.
Don't have kids with her. If you didn't have kids.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You didn't have kids, I would rather date Casey and just not have kids with her.
But Casey Anthony looks a lot like my first wife.
Yeah.
Which they acted.
She's not as hot as Jody. Let's be honest.
Casey?
Casey's not as hot as Jody.
Bro, I'm sitting right here.
That would be weird, Casey and Casey.
Right. That's why I've never tried to actively date someone named Casey.
She really isn't. Casey just seems, she's a whole different story. We'll have to do her sometime. You know,
they touched on her in a like it was like a listed episode.
Yeah.
We touched on her, but
she banged her own lawyer.
Who else Casey did that we covered?
I don't know. I think Jodius tried to, probably.
Jodius. But we I don't think that she had as a background that is as interesting because it doesn't lead up to what happened.
Yeah.
That's
what makes her more of a phantom, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Because if they had like a backstory, yeah, Jody, when she was 10 years old, was found drowning cats.
At least serial killers, yeah, they have that mechanism, you know, the pathway that leads there. And, you know, serial killers are, there's something in them that makes them crave that high of murder, 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 murder.
Mm-hmm.
For her, it's like, what caused it?
Crime of passion. To an extent.
But she planned it, so it wasn't a crime of passion.
Yes and no, because what is a telltale sign of a crime of passion?
The buildup of aggression.
Part of it. How many times did she stab him? 27. Yeah,
that's true.
And, okay.
But even then, I mean, serial killers stab people, like, maniacally, too.
But not to that extent.
Yeah. It has happened, though, frequently,
Yes, but in...
And she made sure he was dead. She stabbed him, cut his head off, and shot him. So,
okay, because
that's like, passion, right?
Okay, in murders, it's true. Like in murders where someone knows the other party, typically, because there is such aggression, the violence is usually to the extreme.
It's just anger. Right.
Great example. And I hate to bring it up as an example, but the Franklin murders where that woman was killed with her two children, I think it was. That happened almost 2 decades ago. All three of those individuals were stabbed multiple times.
It's almost a punishment or a revenge where, you know, I could see her stabbing him like, this is what you get, you know, for turning me down. You could have had me,
Two kids. It was her and the one kid. It was only one kid. Well, not two. It was one kid.
But I could see that, like her talking trash, you know. You turn Jody down, you don't turn Jody down, and she's stabbing him.
Yeah.
Right?
And I don't know, like I said, I don't see, and I think that's why her background is left out, and it just doesn't lead to the event.
Yeah.
There's not enough there to say, oh,
she's an anomaly.
She is.
Right?
One off.
I mean, you can believe what you want. I mean, I will say that Casey Anthony... was not, you know, she was not found guilty of murder. Okay. So in the public opinion, she's innocent, right? In the court opinion, she's innocent. In most people, she's not. I'm one of those people that doesn't believe she's innocent.
I don't.
Right. But even if she's considered a killer, Jody is a whole different type of killer. A whole different type, right?
Yeah.
Well, now, I believe Casey's murder was because of neglect. That's what I think. The way they brought it, like, it was neglect.
Probably.
Jody was a direct passion murder, right?
It was an impassioned murder.
Yeah.
Premeditated, for sure.
Right.
Because, I mean...
Casey wanted to party and still go out and have fun.
And from my understanding, she still does.
So I'm going to leave my baby in a trunk.
Did you hear that she wants to have a kid? I'm like, hey,
we're gonna do an episode on her because
we're gonna have to.
She's nuts. The lying though, Casey was a better liar. I mean, obviously she got off. She was a better liar than Jody.
Yeah.
Jody, why do I keep calling her Lodi? Jodius.
Well, you've called her all kinds of names.
Odie. But yeah, Jody obviously sucked at lying because every lie she tried to bring up, they were like, nope, nope. They're like swatting it like a cat, Nope.
Get this trash out of my house.
Don't say that, Jody. Now, can we officially change she's being a Karen to she's being a Jody?
Well, I mean, that means like you've just like viciously killed the scenario.
Jody looks like the kind of person who would say, can I see your manager?
You know, it's odd.
Does she?
I mean, we don't have any pictures of her.
No. I mean, the jury had pictures of her.
They had lots of pictures.
Yeah, she seems like can I see your manager?
Can I see your
She kind of feels like the kind of girl that you would take on a date to see like Inception. And then afterwards she hated Inception because she didn't understand it. I hate those kind of people. Pay attention to the movie. Quit looking at me. I could see her in a movie with Travis and the whole time she's just like this. Just dead staring into his face the whole time.
And she's like,
I don't get that movie.
And she's asking all kinds of, what's going on? Yeah. I don't know. I'm watching the same movie you are.
Afterwards, they're walking out. I didn't understand that one time. That Christopher Bolin guy doesn't know what he's doing. It's like, bitch, watch the movie.
Yeah.
Quit looking at me.
What? What's he doing?
What's that dream within a dream mean?
Yeah, I'm watching the same movie you are, chick. I'm on the same page you are. Just watch the movie.
Inception. They didn't have babies at all.
Oh my god.
Jody, that's conception. You that's freaking right. Moron.
I didn't see him catch one pass. That's a reception.
Yeah.
You drunk whore.
It's just a dream within a dream. I don't think I really committed this murder. I dreamed it.
Dude,
I'm sleepy.
I just don't understand how she maintained her innocence throughout the entire thing. Because honestly, the detective was right. Had at any point she accepted responsibility, she might have eventually had the opportunity to have parole.
Or, yeah, you mean like get out after like 50 years or whatever? But what she did was so heinous. The way she treated a body. Yeah, it's like, oh my gosh.
But people have gotten off.
They have.
For less or for worse.
It was just, I would never want someone like that getting out ever. But
when a judge is going to look at you and say, well, obviously you don't care enough because you obviously.
She lied her way to life without parole, right?
She lied the entire time.
If she would have said, okay, I did it. I was mad. She probably would have had a little mercy on her.
And she was like, oh, well, I'm innocent. The whole time they're like, hey, look at all this freaking evidence. Nope, when, still innocent.
When you think you're smarter than a judge, and you think you're going to outsmart a judge and lie a judge and the attorneys and the jury, you're going to get the maximum sentence.
And right? Every single detective and cop that got all the evidence and said, and delivered it on a silver platter and said, look at all this beautiful evidence. Because...
if you would have just planted yourself before them and just said, I messed up, I did it, I'm sorry, they would have been like, okay, you can have parole one day.
Here's 50 years.
But I wouldn't want her to have parole.
No. The other issue, obviously, being even in first-degree murder, there's because what is the minimum for first-degree? Is it 25?
I think so.
I think it's 25.
Yeah. Yeah.
So had she accepted responsibility...
It's also
she could have been out at 50 years old.
It's also though they take into account the severity of the crime, what you did.
Still.
You know, like the minimum could be 25, but the judge could say you stabbed him and cut his head off and shot him, 75 years, right?
Maybe
it's all up to the judge. You never know what they're going to do.
But they can appeal it.
They can, yeah,
because they could say, well, it's still only first degree murder.
But you know how often appeals really get.
I mean, the thing is that they could just flood the system with appeals until it gets heard.
They could.
And then.
But I don't think, appeals like that usually aren't successful.
It just depends on the court.
I mean, they appealed Manson for 50 years,
Well, I mean.
And he didn't even kill anybody.
No. No, he just orchestrated the whole thing.
He didn't do it, though.
He didn't do it. That's right. He didn't actually ever commit any of the crimes.
And they don't even have proof that he facilitated some of it.
He didn't commit the physical crime. He just orchestrated the thing. But
he just told him, go out and do my work.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Right.
Go make crappy music? Jody would have been a Manson girl.
Probably.
She had no character of her own. She would have fit right in with those people, dude.
Probably.
Must follow the leader. Right? Yeah. Must do the dirty work.
Yeah.
I could see her being a Manson girl.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
She fits the bill.
He would have went right after her because he sees this empty person, right?
She's empty. She
just like squeaky. Just empty.
Something to follow.
Yeah. She joined the Mormon church in 2 months. She would join Manson in a month, dude.
And
that's our thesis now. If we were writing a doctorates, that would be our thesis.
And... as you said earlier, they probably would have banged.
Manson would have tore her up, dude. Manson would have tore her up.
I can't with you. I can't.
I'm joking, guys.
No, he's not. But he probably would.
I'm kind of joking.
He probably would.
It's funny, but it's not, because Manson's disgusting.
But was.
Hey, hey, Jody. Hey, Jody, come here. That's how he sounded. Let me tell you something, Jody. I'm Jesus Christ.
But yeah, you're right, though. He probably could have convinced her to join the cult.
Probably. Hey, you can buy her artwork now. She's in prison making paintings. You could buy her artwork.
Yeah, that's true.
We should buy a Jodi Arias artwork.
No.
And hang it up.
No. I mean, maybe, but no.
Dude, I would do that.
You would buy a...
It doesn't go to her.
No, it goes to prison.
It goes to the prison to keep her in there. I would do that. I wonder how much they are. Are you looking it up?
It's not terrible.
How much are they?
I don't know.
I want to know, because I would buy
one. Holy crap.
What?
Never mind. It was...
They're probably expensive, aren't they?
I don't know.
That's so funny, though. She's sitting there, like, art by Jodi Arias. She has her own website?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's only $34.
Dude, you ain't seriously considering buying one, are you?
Why not?
Are you serious?
Tell me why I wouldn't.
Because that would be odd.
Yeah, you're right. It's actually not bad art. It's, I gotta say, that's terrible. Actually not bad.
I mean, some of it is not good.
Did you see the self-portrait for $28?
Yes. Oh, my God.
It's actually not bad.
Oh, she has a hand-drawn feet pic.
Go to artbyjodiarias.com, guys. Yeah, that foot picture's kind of bad.
The things you make me do.
I like this, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep it up, Jody. Hey, you're going somewhere.
Honestly, some of it's not bad, and then some of it looks like something you'd see at a high school art show.
Bro, she has some real potential one day. She has some real potential.
I mean, she has all the time on her hands.
She does.
And yeah. She's going anywhere. But yeah, I mean, it's, I guess if you want some okay artwork at a air price, and yeah, that's,
Yep. Well, I think we've pretty much said what we can say on old Jodi Arias Day.
My final conclusion is she is nuttier than squirrel shit.
Yep. She is not the kind of girlfriend you want. Our respect and condolences to Travis and his family, because I know they have to deal with this every day. Not to mention the fact that she was so sensationalized around the world with her court case.
Yeah.
Everybody mostly knows her, about her, and the Alexander family has to deal with that. They're forever tied. It's just like Sharon Tate, a beautiful actress, talented, and she's forever tied to the Manson family now, and it's sad. Just having to live that kind of life, you know?
Right.
So, condolences to them. I hope they find some kind of peace and can move on in some degree. And Travis, you know, I'm sorry, bud. It sucks, man. It really sucks, dude. So, but maybe people can learn from it. I don't think you're going to learn from Jodi. I don't think anything she does is going to teach anybody anything.
No.
Even psychologists are like, what the
Yeah.
Like, what?
And they're like, this is a trash fire. Yeah. Is what this is.
So, anyway, that was our episode on Jodi Arias. Oh, Casey's got some announcements.
Yes. She didn't actually message me back, it doesn't look like. But I will be getting with Haley Wilson, who did our sample package for the merchandise, as far as the t-shirts, the tote bags, the keychains. I messaged her trying to get her address again, but because I've looked at my messages and I don't see it, which is a shame because she definitely did send it to me. But
that's Casey's favorite word.
Yeah,
but.
I've looked at my text and everything and I don't see it. So when she does get that to me again, I promise I will post it on the Facebook page. So you guys can go there. If you follow us on Facebook, also, if you follow us on TikTok, I will do a video later after she responds with that email address. I do know that in the email or the message that she did send me, it did say that she would like, in the subject headline to say merch, to basically say, hey, guess what? This is what I want. So once I get that information, I will update on Facebook and on TikTok that information so you guys can reach out to her and order your goods.
Casey's information station. That's what we should call it when you make announcements.
Information station.
The information station. Almost like the, what was it? Conjunction Junction.
Yeah.
What's your function?
It's true. You can do that.
What's, was that Reading Railroad? What was that?
That was Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah, Schoolhouse Rock. So anyway, guys, I hope this episode serves your interest.
It was a good one, I think.
Yeah.
My personal opinion.
I hope you got something out of it. If not entertainment, maybe something, right? If this is a case you've always wondered about.
I was entertained.
Casey didn't know anything about the case before we started.
A week ago. All I knew was the gist that a stalker girlfriend killed him. And the photograph, the famous last photograph. Yeah. That's basically all I knew.
And then you look online and you're like, this case was like OJ level. Like it was huge.
It was massive.
So anyway, thanks for listening. Share it with your friends. Share it with your Facebooks and all that stuff. We appreciate all the support. Yeah. Share it with whoever, guys. Like we love doing this and delivering it to you. And we don't claim to be an informative podcast. We're not like a, what do they call it? Like a documentary.
Yeah. We're like entertainment purposes only.
Yeah. We're just chatting and we talk about banging and we're just being silly guys.
I mean, so, we do try to give you the information that's pertinent.
Yeah. We try to be respectful to the victims at all times. Like we're not ever going to make fun of the victims.
Right.
So yeah.
Also guys, it is August now. So here in a month and a half, we're going to be in the real spooky season. So I'm pretty excited about that. We're going to have some good paranormal topics to kind of,
it is almost Halloween.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, it's August. The year's
too bad my October is booked back to back because I want to do some ghost hunting. You know?
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was something else. I was going to try to do some stuff last weekend, but it was just so freaking hot and I just didn't want to get out of the house. So,
oh, I know it.
Next weekend might be better. So we'll see. But anyway, yeah, we're coming up in the spooky season. I actually took Halloween night off, so I'm going to do some stuff Halloween night after the kids get in trick or treating. So we'll see what happens, guys.
That's what Michael Myers said. I'm going to do some stuff Halloween night.
Booyah.
Booyah.